Hello, Judy. Hello.
Hello. Oh, hello, Chicken.
Hello, Chicken.
Hello, Chicken.
Hello.
Hello.
We're all under arrest.
Ladies and gentlemen, and Gladys Swavely.
What do you mean, and Gladys Swavely?
Please, it's difficult to explain.
Look, we've got a right to know who's Gladys Swavely.
I'd rather not talk about it.
You just did.
Look, please,
you can't say ladies and gentlemen and Gladys Swavely.
Everybody is either a lady or a gentleman.
Well, if you must know.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, and Gladys Swavely.
Just a minute, I'm very confused.
You're confused. Have a word with Gladys Swavely.
They'll tell you a thing or two. Can we get on with the programme?
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, and Gladys Swavely.
Forgotten what I was going to say now.
Was it a weather forecast?
No.
News item?
No.
Joke?
Please, remember where you are, John.
Where am I?
Tonight's programme is coming to you from the crypt at St. Patrick's.
Be very careful how you say that.
I was. Shall I say it again?
No!
Oh, right.
Later in the show, the incumbent of St. Patrick's, Father Kevin of Vatican, will be playing nuptial mass on his Jew's harp. In the meantime... Would you believe it?
The first steam train to carry passengers left Darlington on April the 8th, 1824.
British Rail expected to arrive at King's Cross sometime this afternoon.
Well, would you believe it?
We've been together now for 40 years.
Don't you think it's time you married me, you dirty old devil?
Meanwhile, in the office of an executive halfway down page 2...
Miss Montgomery?
Yes, Mr. Stevens.
May I call you Hilda?
Oh, of course.
I've been watching you sitting there for 6 months and I know you'd think this is silly of me, but will you take off your glasses?
Well, I can hardly see without them.
I don't care. Take them off.
Oh, very well. Mr. Stevens? Mr. Stevens?
He's not here, dear. Just saw him running down the stairs with your handbag. Oh. Hello?
I'd like to complain about that last joke. My wife's short-sighted.
Oh, I'm sorry, have we offended her?
No, she's just found out I nicked her handbag.
Oh. And with that, thank you and goodbye.
What do you mean?
That is the last joke in which I shall appear in this programme, if you'll pardon the overstatement. I have accepted an offer to work for commercial television.
Don't do it! They're in serious trouble.
Why?
They advertised a show called Des O'Connor Entertains, and 20 million people are suing them under the Trades Descriptions Act.
I'm in a bit of trouble.
Tell me the man's name and I'll horsewhip him.
No, you fool. I've just had an anonymous letter.
Who's it from?
Tim.
From Tim? What does it say?
At the third stroke, it will be 10:14 precisely.
And now over to Brands Hatch, where Hesketh Plunge is interviewing a personality in the pits.
Well, how do you think you'll do today?
Well, I reckon I'll have shifted half a ton of coal by 5 o'clock.
Thank you. And back to Nathan Splint in the... Oh.
I won't be a minute.
Oh. Well, I'll have another word with someone here. Here's a gentleman in blue overalls bending over the bonnet of a Formula 2 car wielding a spanner. Excuse me, sir, are you a mechanic?
No, I steal racing engines.
Oh, jolly good. How are you now, Nathan?
Finished.
What were you doing in there?
Looking out Roger's thesaurus.
One of these days they'll catch you at it.
I don't care, I tell you, I don't care. Me care? No. I want to live life to the hilt.
London Hilt or the Stratford Hilt?
Meanwhile, in a hotel just outside the next joke...
Are you the manager?
Yes, sir.
I want to complain about rain pouring into my room.
How dare you, sir? This is a 5-star hotel.
I know. I can see 4 of them through a hole in the ceiling.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend a lonely night.
Have you tried having a damn good bath?
And speaking of baths... we have taken the essence of Castilian violets, mingled it with the fragrance of Andalusian lilacs, adding a touch of Spanish sorcery, and we have produced Mayante, a new bath oil just for you. So at the end of a long, tiring day, when you want to rediscover the true meaning of pleasure, get into a bath with Mayante.
I will.
Would you believe it?
In 1966, two members of the royal family had to be restrained from attacking a policeman. Both of them were corgis.
Well, would you believe it?
Meanwhile, in a rabbit hutch standing in its own coffee grounds, a mother rabbit is addressing her daughters.
You girls are becoming far too promiscuous. Mabel, last Monday you went out with that young boy rabbit from next door. Tuesday and Wednesday you went out with him, Alice. Thursday it was you, Veronica. And Friday it was you again, Mabel. You girls have got to stop passing the buck.
Envisaging the day when the voting age will be lowered even further, here is a party political broadcast by the Minister of Transport.
Hillier, if you vote for me, you'll all have lots of chuffer trains to go anywhere you want. And can I be excused now?
And then go to bed, you flash little devil.
Now over to Dorian Moskovitz at the Horse of the Year show.
And you join us at rather a dramatic moment. Harvey Smith on Cuddles has just been disqualified. I really think Harvey had overtrained this horse, because when they approached the first five-bar gate, Cuddles opened it and walked through. As the next competitor enters the ring, over to Gladys Swavely.
And the next competitor is a newcomer to this show, Penelope Striped Bolster. She's cantering into the ring now. There goes the bell, and she's off. She takes off rather close to the first gate, clears it well, coming to the wall. Oh, caught it with a trailing leg, but the brickwork stayed clear at the water jump. Now into the treble. One to go, Penelope. Oh, well done! There's a clear first round here for Penelope. What a plucky girl she is. One only hopes that next year she can afford a horse.
And now, especially for all you horse lovers, here is a little-known recording of Roy Rogers singing Don't Bury Me on the Lone Prairie, I'm Not Dead Yet.
I've fallen for a girl called Agnes, and nothing rhymes with that. And so I'll sing my song of love the best way that I can. Each time I see beloved Agnes, birds sing in my heart and in my bathroom as well. I think they get in through a hole in the roof. Agnes, you have given me joy and peace and an overdraft and a cold. Oh, Agnes, it's hell writing a love song for you. So I think I'll go out and find a girl called Louise. That'll be a damn sight easier. Agnes, goodbye, and you can keep the cat.
Man deaf in right ear with hearing aid wishes to meet lady deaf in left ear with hearing aid. Object stereo.
And now our progressive jazz spot. Over to Humpty Little John at Ronnie Spots.
Good evening, and how about this?
I think you'll agree a real breakthrough in modern jazz techniques. What was that, Ronnie?
It was a plumber cleaning the toilet. We're closed tonight.
Home hints for the handyman, number 8. How to convert your attic.
Read it the Ten Commandments and sprinkle it with holy water.
Inside Showbiz.
Hello,
lovely up-and-coming starlet Zsa Zsa Pratt, formerly third wife of oil magnate Hiram Groin, who recently married Dolores Van Dorn, ex-wife of his son, who was once married to Zsa Zsa and is now married to her sister Edith, Hiram's second wife, was involved in an incident in San Diego today when the registrar stopped her latest wedding ceremony on the grounds that she was marrying herself. Questioned later, Zsa Zsa said, "I don't know why he did it. I'm sure I would have been very happy together."
At Pinewood Studios, an interesting experiment is taking place. Beautiful starlet Ken Russell is directing his latest film, a combination of Gone with the Wind and Stormy Weather. It stars Burt Ford. And now over to Morris Loomer, our critic, for his views of the new releases.
This week, I was privileged to get a glimpse of Maxim Gorky's Lower Depths.
One of these days, they'll catch you at it.
At last night's premiere at the Universal Cinema, I was moved. Twice.
Lovers of good, clean fun will be delighted to hear that Peter Rogers' new venture, Carry On Girls with No Knickers Up the Khyber, has been granted a U certificate. That's all for this week. In Inside Show Business next week, we shall be looking up Brian Forbes' trouser leg.
Come on, we can shelter here. You all right?
Yeah, but it's the last time I come with you to an Arsenal-Chelsea match.
Down and down I go, round and round I go.
Dad, get out of the washing machine.
And now here is Dudley Function to give a short talk on Greece.
If you get some on your trousers, you can't get it off.
Thank you. The man's a fool.
Meanwhile, at a ventriloquist convention.
Garman, could I have 6 scuttles of gear? And what will you have, Gil?
I'll have a glass of Binnis.
Don't give him one. He's kissed.
Here is a message for all motorists crossing the Thames by the Kennington Bridge.
You're in bother, there isn't one.
Meanwhile, in a doctor's surgery just under the patella.
What can I do for you?
An impersonation of Humphrey Bogart.
National health or private?
National health.
Okay, Blue Eyes. That's it. Anything else?
Yes, I've been feeling rather queasy and upset in the stomach.
Right, I'll just have a little listen in. Where's my stethoscope?
In your ears.
Pardon?
In your ears!
Oh, here it is, in my ears. Why didn't you tell me? Right, undo your shirt. Oh. Right. Good heavens, that's most odd. What did you have for breakfast?
Usual. 2 soft-boiled eggs, slice of toast, and the London Symphony Orchestra.
We'll stick to string quartets for a fortnight, then come and see me again. Next!
Hello.
Hello, I'm a doctor, and I'd like to complain about the last section of the programme which held up the medical profession to ridicule. I should like to defend the dignity of my calling and say, knickers to the lot of you.
While you're on the phone, Dicta, or even doctor, I'm tired, listless, and depressed. What do you recommend?
Sounds like a lack of iron in your diet. Go and eat a bicycle.
Yes?
You can have a bicycle and chips, love.
Bicycle's off. There's only trolley bus and kidney pie or fried fillet of sewing machine.
In that case, I want to see the proprietor.
Yeah?
I have a complaint.
I'll have you. Take that.
Now your trouble, Gavin.
What?
You're a marvellous chef, but you're not very good with people.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is our Radio Times joke of the week.
Did you know that the editor of the Radio Times gets £20,000 a year from the editor of the TV Times?
Here is a special news bulletin. A few minutes ago, our intrepid roving correspondent, George Dull, phoned in a report from the heart of strife-torn Bolivia.
Hello. George Dull here. I had a bit of a headache this morning, so I went for a walk on the front and I met a man who used to work in a hardware shop in Dulwich, just down the road from where I used to live. Got back to the tell and found I just missed Tom and Jerry on the television. This is George Dull in La Paz, back to London.
Wow! Thank you, George. Listen in next week for another George Dull scoop. And now, come in, Reg Trench.
Hello.
Hello, Reg. Take your coat off, put the kettle on and give us a song.
All right.
Everyone knows how it feels making friends with conger eels, and it's great, I think.
Yes, it's great, I think.
Everyone, of course, loves fleas, but we must remember, please, our friends beneath the sink. And as we spread joy throughout the land,
hallelujah,
and as we go walking hand in hand,
hallelujah,
there's one thing we ought to understand.
Cockroaches need a little loving too.
It's so easy to be nice to the friendly old wood lice, but you must do more.
Yes, you must do more.
You'll find where true friendship lies when you meet those little guys underneath the kitchen floor. And as we spread joy throughout the land,
hallelujah,
and as we go walking hand in hand,
hallelujah,
there's one thing we ought to understand.
Cockroaches need a little loving too.
And as we spread joy throughout the land,
hallelujah,
and as we go walking hand in hand,
hallelujah,
there's one thing we ought to understand.
Cockroaches need a little loving too. Cockroaches need a little loving too.
The Lone Ranger was riding his horse, as he is wont, with Tonto, rode up to him. He said, Lone Ranger! And he did it in an Indian voice. Lone Ranger, he said, why are you riding a horse with a dustbin on the back? And Lone Ranger said, because I'm going to da dump, to da dump, to da dump, dump.
Meanwhile, in a solicitor's office, halfway up his nolly prosequi,
and £50 to each of the servants, Mr. Crothers. That takes care of the property. And finally, I should like to be cremated and my ashes to be scattered from an aeroplane. Mr. Crothers, not yet. Stop setting fire to my trousers. Stop it, Mr. Crothers, not yet.
As far as we can ascertain, Mr. Crothers didn't stop it. Here's a change in our advertised programmes. The Tommy Steele show, which was to have gone out later this evening, has had to be postponed as they forgot to wind him up.
The year 1943. England is at war. Food is scarce and expensive. Gas and electricity supplies are restricted. Public transport is at a minimum. Very much like England at peace, actually.
Get on with it.
Sorry. In those dark days, one voice symbolised the spirit of England's indomitable will to win.
We'll meet again, don't know where,
Don't know when.
Yes.
But I know.
Max Miller.
Buffoon, that wasn't Max Miller, that was Vera Lynn.
It's funny, she doesn't look Jewish.
Here, all right, I'll do it. For the first time, we tell the story of one of the best-kept secrets of the war, a story of British ingenuity, British courage, and Welsh rabbit. The story of Operation Bluebird.
The scene is Dover. Vera is standing on the White Cliffs giving a concert for the Coldstream Guards, the catering corps, and a small man in a dirty raincoat who knows something about the colonel.
I admire her, I do.
So do I, Nobby.
If I have a son, I hope he grows up like her.
Yeah.
But unknown to our boys in brown, the Gestapo, appreciating Vera's value to the war effort, had sent a highly skilled band of men who were, at that moment, cutting away the very section of cliff on which she stood. Looping a steel hawse around it, they attached the other end to a U-boat and gave the command.
Pull up the rope and stick face to plunder!
That's pathetic.
What do you expect for this money, Kurt Jurgens?
Do you?
No, you don't. Get on with it.
They're cute at that age, aren't they? Slowly, Vera moved out to sea.
Here, Nobby. See what's happening? Them crouts is pinching our Vera.
It's all right. In that frock, it won't show.
The news was immediately flashed to Whitehall by the small man in the dirty raincoat.
One of these days they'll catch him at it.
The War Office immediately sent a heavily armed memo, but it was too late. They had kidnapped Vera Lynn.
Operation Bluebird, starring Zsa Zsa Pratt as Hermann Göring, Hermann Göring as Zsa Zsa Pratt, and Tim Brooke Taylor as Vera Lynn's frock. With a special guest appearance by Dennis King as the German Army. Produced by Tommy Cooper out of a hat.
Just like that.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, you know why I wanted you here today.
You're a poof!
True. But the main reason is this Vera Lynn business. Apart from the blow to our morale, we've heard that the Hun is training her to sing like that Dietrich woman.
What?
Before we know where we are, they'll have Vera, Vera in a top hat and showing her stocking tops.
Oh!
For heaven's sake, Admiral. Oh, put his head between his knees, will you?
Ah!
I meant bend him forwards, but it doesn't matter. General Farquhar, could we have a report?
Intelligence report? They're holding her by the vineyard.
The swines!
In the wine valley, she's been incarcerated.
Oh, the fiends!
It's an impenetrable fortress, the Schloss Ginsburg. Our boffins are working on an escape plan. In the meantime, we've put an emergency one into operation. If you follow me to Broadcasting House, you can see it at work.
We'll meet again. Don't know where. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
It's not working, Winnie.
Well, she's no bloody good at making speeches.
That's true. The great brains of Britain were baffled, and so they turned to one of the most talented scientists of the age, the only man ever to win a Nobel Prize for writing on walls, Dr. James Smartass.
Good morning, Doctor. I'm Major Trousers, and this is Captain Sequin, my camp aide.
Don't you mean aide-de-camp?
He knows what he means, dear.
Oh. Hello, darling. Give us a kiss and save the last waltz for me.
But, Doctor, I'm a chap. Oh, still, there's a war on.
Be mine!
Doctor, please. Have you had any thoughts about Vera Lynn?
Yes, I had a lovely one involving her.
Have you a plan for rescuing her?
Well, for the last few days, I've been thinking of bouncing airmen.
One of these days, they'll catch you at it.
No, no, the Schloss stands in open terrain, making a secret approach impossible. Also, any parachutists dropping in the area would have their shortcomings exposed.
Ooh.
Here's my plan. Give us a kiss.
No.
Here's my other plan. If we drop airmen at the right trajectory from low-flying Lancasters, they will bounce across the open fields, in through the toilet window, grab Vera, and out the other side.
That's all very well, Doctor. Please don't do that. But how will they get home?
The underground.
Doesn't run that far.
Oh,
The local resistance movement, darling.
Do you think it will work, Doctor?
Of course. I shall start experimenting immediately.
Sequin, arrange for 200 airmen and 5 WAFs.
Oh, why 5 WAFs?
I'm going away for the weekend.
You are, I'll arrange that immediately.
Is there anything else you want, Doctor?
Yes, give us a kiss.
Oh, very well.
And they were never seen again.
In the weeks that followed, the South Downs resounded to the roar of Lancasters and the bouncing of airmen.
Ooh! Ooh! Ooh!
Sergeant, take that man's name.
Yes, sir.
And his telephone number.
As the days passed, accuracy increased.
Permission to report, sick, sir.
Finally, the doctor was satisfied. He had 6 bouncing airmen and 5 expectant WAFs. Operation Bluebird was on.
B for Cyril, calling H for Charlie. M for Cyril, calling X for Charlie. Prepare to drop them.
Pardon?
The airmen, you fool.
All right, chaps, this is it. Best of luck and off you go.
Geronimo!
Geronimo!
Minnie ha-ha!
What?
It's all right, I've got his phone number.
And down below...
The doctor's scheme had worked. Unfortunately, due to a following wind, the airman bounced through the wrong window and arrived back in London 3 days later with the manageress of the German Naffy.
As far as we know, Vera's still out there, probably wearing a top hat and showing her stocking tops.
Just a minute. In that case, who was it I saw on telly last night in a long blue frock singing Our Feeder's Aim?
Martin Bormann.
Really?
Don't worry, I've got his phone number.
Oh, good.
We'll meet again.
Ta-da, Cheeky.
Cheerio, Cheeky.
This programme was written by Barry Cryer, John Junkin, and Tim Brooke Taylor. The music was by the Dennis King Trio, and the programme was produced by David Hatch. Toodaloo.
And you.
Come on, they're open.
What a marvellous programme that is, isn't it? You can hear a repeat of that programme tomorrow at 7:02 on Radio 2. Well, how are you all this afternoon? It's just coming up to 2:30, so let me tell you about some of the other programmes we have for you today.